Okay. Got this thing on yet?
Test 1, 2. Check, 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 check. All right. Good to see you all. This side seems to have all attended, and this side's slacking. It's no wonder they never win them when they have the... No. Well, it's good to see you all here today. And despite the weather, it seems to be winter has approached us now. I was giving my brother and dad a bad time about a week and a half ago after they had their first storm in Bismarck. You know, they had snow everywhere, and I had a nice brown backyard. The grass was still green. I took pictures of me out there with my lawnmower and texting. I put, you know, I think I saw a flake of snow. Oh, no, I guess it wasn't. And then a couple days ago, I got a text from them. The guys said, where's your lawnmower? So I got to get a picture of me pushing it in the snow now. One of my daily devotions, I got this story that I thought I could start off with today. I thought it was kind of interesting. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so the story talked about, have you ever heard how Eskimos kill wolves? And I thought, this is very interesting. First, what they do is they get a nice sharp knife, big blade, and what they'll do is they get some animal blood, and of course, it's, you know, this is when it's really cold outside. They'll coat the knife blade with blood, and then they'll let it freeze, put another layer on there, and they'll get several layers of frozen blood on the blade, big long blade, and then they go plant it in the snow, and then just go about their normal business. And what happens is a wolf finds his way to the blade, of course, because he can smell blood from a long ways away. So what will happen is he smells this fresh blood, starts licking. And then pretty soon he licks more vigorously because there's another layer of blood, and he's just licking and licking and lapping at the sharp blade. Pretty soon the blade is exposed. But by this time, the intensity of their craving for blood is so great, they just keep licking like crazy, and the wolf doesn't even notice the sharp sting of the knife cutting his tongue. And so what's happening now, he's satisfying his own craving for this blood with the blood from his tongue, because he's already gotten it off the knife, but the knife's cutting his tongue up so badly. And then what ends up happening is the next day the Eskimo goes out, and there's a wolf laying in the snow, and they take the wolf and, you know, get the meat and stuff like that. So, and the whole idea behind the devotion was that, you know, sin is kind of the same way with us, you know. We may not notice some kind of thing that Satan finds in us, some weakness we have, and that's the thing he'll entice us with. And if you give in just a little bit, pretty soon, a little bit more, pretty soon you don't even notice that you're doing it, kind of like licking the blade of the knife. And ends up gripping us and consuming us, and we can lose friendships and marriages and even our testimony, which is the most important thing, our testimony to others about God is destroyed as well, because people can see that weakness in you. It becomes so obvious. But Satan has done this. He's come to rob and kill and destroy and take things away from us. So what we need, and so what I thought I would talk about is this is something Carl and I had been visiting with about one night. Forgiveness. And I was doing some research, and there's a lot of places you can find out about forgiveness, but mainly the Bible. But one area of forgiveness I thought I'd look at is something you may not have thought about. And one of the stories I found was a pastor that told about a time when someone very near and dear to him hurt him very greatly. He doesn't say who it was in that story that I was reading. But the pain was deep, the hurt was profound, because he relied on that person as a mentor almost, like a father figure. And he was very angry after this whole situation had happened. And so finally one time he talked it over with another preacher friend of his, and he poured out all the details about what this guy had done to him and all the things that had happened to him and how he got hurt by this person. And he was waiting for this other pastor to say, boy, you know, you're right to feel angry. I understand what you're saying. That's just awful. But that's not what the guy told him. After listening to all the details, this pastor friend of his said, you must totally forgive him. And he looked at the guy and he goes, well, no, you didn't get it. See, this and this and this. And the guy stopped him and said, no, you must totally forgive them. If you release them, then you will be set free. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. If you release them, then you will be set free. And it's a totally different approach to forgiveness because, you know, what we tend to do as human beings, we'll go, no, no, but you don't understand what he did. You know, they lied about me and said these things and they tried to destroy my career, or maybe they did destroy my career. You just can't imagine what I've been through. You know, and if you know what this did to my family, you'd be angry too. You know? They deserve to suffer like they made me suffer. You ever use that line? I'm going to make them pay. I've heard people say that, you know, maybe we've thought that, right? Or even worse, you know, that they were drunk and they crashed into the car and killed my daughter, or killed my son, or my daughter was raped. How do you forgive that? You know, I mean, I'll never forgive those people, ever. These are things we tend to do as human beings. And there was a comment that C.S. Lewis, that he used at the end of one of my readings in the morning, was he said this about forgiveness. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they've got something to forgive. And that's an interesting thought because there's a lot in that phrase. Number one, we have to remember that forgiveness is truly a Christian virtue. It really, truly is. That forgiveness is a Christian thing. Luke 6:37, here's what Jesus said. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he also said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now that's interesting. And in Ephesians, Paul says it a little bit different. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Jesus Christ God forgave you. So now that's talking more to a Christian that has accepted that forgiveness that we got when Jesus Christ died for us. But, you know, like here in Colossians 3:13, he also says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So there's a lot of things that the Bible tells us to do with forgiving people. How do we do that? That's the trick. 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And so, and there's another way to say it from the love chapter as well. Paul says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And the Message Bible kind of says the same thing. It's stated a little differently. Love doesn't keep a score of the sins of others. Do we tend to do that? You know, I think it's in our upbringing. You know, like I remember my mom and my grandma, when my grandma was alive, and then mom's sister. There was just the two kids. You know, every Sunday night, of course, this is when you paid for long distance. You know, they would rotate. Who's going to call next? You know, well, okay, and you know, my mom called that weekend, so now it was Mary's turn, and then the next weekend, Grandma had to call, and they sat there that night, and if it wasn't their turn, and they didn't get the phone call, they, you know, well, I'm not going to call them. It's their turn, you know. Keeping score, you know. And that's just, it's not right. And you got to look at probably the biggest example that we can see of forgiveness was Jesus Christ, of course, hanging there on the cross, condemned to death by all these guys, that these evil people that had false witnesses and all the people that cheered because, oh, yeah, here, look at Jesus up there. You know, and he's the only guy in the entire earth that ever lived and walked on earth that didn't deserve it, right? And what he said was, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And there's more to that statement than you think about, too, because many of us will say this. We'll say, you know, if only the people who hurt me would show some remorse and show some sorrow, you know, if they just do that, maybe I'd forgive them. And that doesn't usually happen, number one. And we can't use that as an excuse to continue our bitterness and our anger or our desire to get even, because if you look at Jesus' example, he sure didn't, you know. It's not like he ran up to everybody and said, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. No, he talked right to God and said, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so, you know, as you look at Jesus hanging there on the cross, no one seemed very sorry for him. I mean, there were people walking by and they taunted him and hey, if you're the king of Israel, yeah, you come down from the cross, heal you, save yourself. You know, I mean, everybody made fun of him. They were happy to see him suffer and die. And yet he still said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that's what we have to do, I think, as human beings. If we're going to follow Jesus and, you know, we use his example, we need to say that about anybody that's hurt us, even if it's deliberate, even if it's repeatedly, even if it's over and over, we need to forgive people in a true sense. So, and that's the hard part, because we don't understand, I think, you know, forgiveness as it is in a Christian way. And so we're just going to take one little interesting angle and clear up some misconceptions first about forgiveness. And let's do that by looking at what forgiveness isn't, because that might be the easiest way, and because there's some cool points in here that I think we tend to just fill in the blanks with. Forgiveness does not mean approving of what someone else did. It doesn't mean pretending that the evil didn't take place. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. It doesn't mean justifying evil so that sin becomes less sinful. Forgiveness doesn't mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean denying that somebody tried to hurt you repeatedly. It doesn't mean denying it. It doesn't mean letting people walk all over you either. Okay? Forgiveness does not mean refusing to press charges if a crime has been committed. That's another one, a big one. It doesn't mean forgetting that the wrong was done. It doesn't mean pretending that you weren't hurt. And it doesn't mean that you need to restore that particular relationship to what it was before either. That's one we jump the track on. It doesn't mean that you have to become best friends again with someone. I mean, you can. It can get to that point. It doesn't mean that there should be a total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. It doesn't mean that you must tell the person that you've forgiven them. What do you think about that? This is just stuff to think about. It also doesn't mean that all the negative consequences of sin have been canceled or taken away either. And so we'll just get into some of that here a little bit. We've all heard about football or basketball coaches that got caught doing something, you know. Major college football team, University of Alabama, for instance, a while back. So the coach goes to this topless nightclub, engages in all these activities, embarrasses the university, and he gets caught. So, yeah, okay, I did that. Lost his job. They forgive him. Forgiveness may have been granted, but guess what? He lost his job. The forgiveness didn't cancel all the negative consequences of the choices that person made. I think we all can relate to somebody we know where something has happened. They resigned their position, you know, great job that they had, whatever it was. And the thing about the consequences forgiveness not canceling the consequences, I think that's where we need to go here with what real forgiveness is, because forgiveness is a matter of the heart. That was the big revelation I got in all the things I was reading. I was reading an article about this guy that sent an email into his pastor. Recently had come to grips with the fact that a neighbor had abused him when he was a child. And that trauma, plus the fact that he was raised in a family where his parents couldn't express love to their children, that played a role in his life of just making his adult life rotten and bad. And only recently had he come to grips with his own pain. And this is part of what he wrote in that email. Just this year, through prayer and a Christian counselor, I'm beginning to let go of the past. It took me going to the cemetery to visit my father and mother's graves to help overcome the anger and hatred I felt toward my father. And he said, so I stood there and I had a 2-hour conversation with him at the graveyard, and I began to let go of the anger that had kept me in a state of sadness most of my adult life. And then he went on to say that for many years what he did was to just kind of hide the hurt that was in him. Was he was out there fixing people and helping them fix their problems because he knew how to do that. He said, until the facts of my childhood woke me up and slapped me in the face, and I knew I couldn't fix that. And that's when he came to the realization that if that would have to be fixed, it would have to be done by God, because he knew he couldn't do it. And he said, the first thing I learned was I had to figure out how to forgive. And that's a good story because it demonstrates, at least in some respects, this whole concept that forgiveness really, truly, essentially is a matter of our heart. You know, a lot of us might think, okay, forgiveness is mostly about what we do or say to somebody else. And that doesn't always work. Because you can still go and say, oh, yeah, and you can mouth words of forgiveness to people and say, oh, yeah, I realize you did that and I forgive you. And yet you can still harbor these bad feelings toward them. And it'll go on for years and years and years. And I think we all know, can relate to people in our families or certain situations where, you know, somebody didn't truly forgive you, because you can tell. They still harbor feelings. Or maybe you still harbor those types of feelings to someone else. So forgiveness begins in the heart, and then it works its way outward. Okay? So, and there's that sense that even if, even forgiving someone that hurt you deeply, that has to be between you and God, to forgive that person, between you and God. Because the other person may not understand, or they might not even recognize or realize that they have a need to receive healing because they don't know what they're doing. They don't even realize they hurt you. It's quite possible. So forgiveness really, truly, in essence, is a decision that you make on the inside to refuse to live in the past. It's a conscious choice that you and I make to release someone else or other people from their sins against you, and then you'll be set free. You know, it doesn't deny the pain, it doesn't change the past, it doesn't break the cycle of bitterness that, you know, connects you back to that event or those events, but it allows you to let go, and then you can move on. And it also, in that story, kind of tells you that you can forgive even if the other person doesn't make a confession that they need to, that they did that. You can forgive without restoring a relationship. You can forgive when the other person hasn't done a thing to earn the forgiveness. Because forgiveness is just like salvation, you know? It's a gift that you freely give to somebody. It can't be earned. There's no way that someone can say, oh, I'm sorry I did that to you. What can I do to earn my forgiveness back? You know, it doesn't work that way because the forgiveness itself is coming from in your heart. And that's the whole Christian aspect of it. And you go back to that statement by C.S. Lewis, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. One day Peter asked Jesus how many times we should forgive somebody, right? Jesus said 70 times 7. So if you do the math, 490 times, right? We always joke about that. It's a lot of sin, it's a lot of pain, and a lot of forgiveness. And yet that's what Jesus tells us we need to do. Basically, you've got to keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And then Jesus tells this story about a guy who owed his boss a whole bunch of money in the Bible, right? It comes out to like $50 million in today's money, a lot of money. He runs up this big debt, spent all the money, and then the guy comes to him and says, you know, I need my money back. And he goes, you know, I don't have it. I ain't got a cent. I'm broke. I spent it all. I don't got anything. I can't give you your $50 million back. And what happens? Boss, I'll forgive you, you know. Just, well, I'll wipe it clean. Debt's gone. And wow, it's like, oh, I can't believe it. My debt's gone. And so, you know the story. The guy goes out. A little later on, he runs into a guy that owes him like $100. And when the fellow couldn't pay, he had him thrown in jail. Well, the word gets back around to the first guy, right? And anyway, so the whole thing is, and he puts the guy in jail, so he's tortured until he gets a chance to pay the money back. The moral of the story is, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. From the heart. And that's hard. Jesus said, what happened to the man, to that man, will happen to you unless you learn to forgive and forgive and forgive. The tormentors will come. They'll take you away and torture you. And the tormentors, you know, they're things like this, you know. If you're still harboring that bitterness against somebody, or they're harboring it against you, you know, it's anger, it's bitterness, it's frustration. It gives you high blood pressure, and it gives you ulcers, and you can't sleep at night. Then you have this unforgiving heart, and it just keeps building and building, just like that wolf licking the knife. You know, it just keeps going and going. And then you forgive somebody, and you go and hug them, and you know, I forgive you. And then, but you truly didn't. And so later on, it's still there. It's because you didn't forgive from the heart. And it's happening just like Jesus said. because you refuse to forgive. I think we're all like these unforgiving servants. You know, we stand before God, our sins are piled up, and we know we can't, you know, we're so overwhelmed by our sins, and sometimes we don't truly accept the forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives to us. We got to come to God and just, I don't have the $50 million, you know, I can't pay it, God. And God is rich in mercy. He's going to say, you know, I forgive all your sins. You got to believe that. You got to really embrace that. My son paid the debt. You don't owe me a thing. And then we go, oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. Woo! Lord, I lift your name on. Go walk outside. You're done, right? It feels great. And then we get outside. We run into a guy downtown. We know, hey, oh, that guy hurt me. Hey, pay me my debt. No, you have to forgive and keep forgiving and move on. You know, you can't harbor the anger. You can't harbor the bitterness. And there's three levels of forgiveness that I was able to pare some of this stuff down to. Number one, we have to rediscover the person that hurt us and realize that they're sinners just like us. You know, they don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Number two, you give up your right to get even. You know, you got to let it go and be done with it. And that's hard for us to do because, I know, but that pain they caused me, the thing they did to me. No, you got to give that up. And then number three, we have to revise our feelings to the other person. You know, we got to give up the hatred, let go of the bitterness. And because Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. That's in Matthew 5:44. And if you're able to do that, you know, truly in your heart able to do that, you'll know that you've reached total forgiveness. If you can just, and it's between you and God. See what I'm saying? If you can ask God to bless that person, regardless of what they did, you know, bless them. Just bless them, God. You know, I'm letting go of all of this. That's a high standard. And you can't do it without God either. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's going to give you the strength to just do that and let it go. It's like a miracle. You know, forgiveness is, I was reading one article that said, forgiveness is like a miracle, real forgiveness. And so it's not an optional part of our life as Christians. It's so important, it's necessary to be a Christian because Jesus said, forgive everybody so that you can be forgiven. If we're going to follow Jesus, we must forgive, just like God forgave us. And we will forgive to the extent that we appreciate how much we've been forgiven. So we've got to look at the forgiveness we have from other people, and mainly from Jesus Christ, of course, because if we remember how much God has already forgiven the stuff we've done in our past lives and the things we were just ashamed of looking back at and going, I can't believe I did that. You know, think of all the things that should have happened to us, all the things that we should deserve, but because God has such grace, we didn't have to go through that. You know, he who has been forgiven little loves little. It says in Luke 7:47. He who has been forgiven little loves little. So we got to think about and remember all the forgiveness that we've been given. And that line, release them and you'll be set free. Truly release. You know, have you ever been forgiven by God, but you're still carrying the burden of your sin? You know, you got to let it go. You got to accept the forgiveness that God gives. There was a story about a guy that said, you know, I hadn't attended church regularly since Bible school as a kid, you know. And he said, then a friend said, let's go to this, there's a play over on for Good Friday at this church. So he went with his friend. It was The Borrowed Tomb. He said, I was there, and then I kind of half-heartedly asked Jesus to come into my life as my Savior, because they did a little altar call at the thing. He said, and I said half-heartedly because, you know, the church is full of people, the music's playing, and it was only later that I really realized that what it meant to truly say that prayer and ask Jesus into my heart. He said, later after I got home, I thought about that incident, and then I just stood there and closed my eyes. And he said, I was moved to tears by the fact that I finally realized how big that was to acknowledge that I needed Jesus as my Lord, my Savior. And then that I realized what his act did as far as forgiving my sins. So it's just kind of interesting. The song, Have You Been to Jesus for the Cleansing Flood? Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? You know, we should sing that at the end because those words basically talk about this exact thing. So if you got, you know, if you think you're just not good enough, oh man, I keep doing the same thing over and over. Well, guess what? Ask God for forgiveness and he'll forgive it again because he said he will. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. The only person that was ever called that. And look at all the stuff he did. You know? But he truly, truly just asked for that forgiveness and Jesus Christ gave it. And in the same way, we truly need to just forgive those people that hurt us in the past. Give it to God. And if you are able to ask God to just, you know, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing and I don't know what I'm doing. Forgive me and let's let it go. And you will be released. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask you, God, to just work on our hearts. You know, we've got so many things that have happened to us in the past and so many things that maybe we haven't been able to let go of, but help us to find that freedom. I know what Jesus said when he left. He said, I leave you peace, and my peace I give you. And you can't have peace. We just can't have peace in our hearts, God, unless we've figured out how to truly forgive others. So just help us, God, to let those things go. Help us, God, to love people where they are, forgive them, and realize, God, that just as you know, maybe they don't know what they're doing, we don't know either, God. We just have to turn to you. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work through us and guide us and help us to just be strong. Help us to look to you for everything. Help us to just give it all up and truly learn how to forgive. Just pray for this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Should we do Are We Washed? Are you washed in here?